Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. I just want to welcome you this Sabbath evening, which is from sunset to sunset, to Advent Light Ministry prayer line. Today is November the 19th. We're almost at the last month of the year, so we just want to thank God for his mercy, his love. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for who you are. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for protection. We thank you for your love. We thank you for health and strength. As we see that we're in the last days and we see all these things coming upon us, oh Lord. But we thank you for your warning. In your word, Father, you have warned us, and also in the spirit of prophecy, to lend a light to the Bible, that these things will come upon us, Lord. But like the wise virgin and the foolish virgin, all the virgins slept, but the wise one woke up. The five wise ones woke up, and they still had oil in their lamps. So, Father, may we be wise virgins. May we have oil in our lamps to help us, to guide us. Which is the Holy Spirit, as we go through this journey. May we proclaim the good news to everyone that you are soon to come and you are even at the door. Repent, therefore. We all need to repent and come back to our first love. Please bless each and everyone that join us. Be with the speaker in a special way, Lord. Be in the midst of us as we testify and we encourage each other. And just praise your name and give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. What a special day to come and to praise the Lord. And to come and encourage each other and to talk of the goodness of the Lord and what he has done for each and every one of us, testify. Okay, and I will read from Mrs. Chapter Last Day Event, and this is Chapter 10. And this is, again, Last Day Events, Chapter 10. Okay, and I will start reading at paragraph 8. It said, the end of religious liberty in the United States, 143.2. And it says the title, the end of religious liberty in the United States. The law of God through the agency of Satan is to be made void. In our land of boasted freedom, religious liberty will come to an end. And we see that even now we had so much freedom and now we see the religious liberty coming to an end. And this book, Spirit of Prophecy, was written so many years ago. And all the prophecy are being fulfilled. So God did bless Sister Ellen White. Continue reading. The contest will be decided over the Sabbath question, which will agitate the whole world. So the whole world will be agitated over what? The Sabbath question. A great crisis awaits the people of God. Very soon, our nation will attempt to enforce upon all the observance of the first day of the week as a sacred day. So that's when they want to observe Sunday, the first day of the week, as a sacred day. And they, I think they will even call it the Sabbath. They have been calling it the Sabbath. And they will want to force everyone to worship on that day. And that is where we're at. Continue reading. In doing this, they will not scruple to compel men against the voice of their own conscience. Even now with these mandates that they're doing, you know, they're trying to coerce people to do things and to go against their own conscience or to keep their job, which eventually they'll lose, or to fly or to travel or to go to a certain area. And this has all been foretold. Okay? To observe the day the nation declare to be the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists will fight the battle over the seventh-day Sabbath. The authorities in the United States, again, the authorities in the United States and in other countries will rise up in their pride and power and make laws to restrict religious liberty. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of the threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling upon the right of conscience. So, again, we're seeing all of this foretold unfold right in front of our eyes. May the Lord help us. Okay, please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading as I'm reading this from last day event. One more paragraph. And we see all these things foretelling right in front of our eyes. And the title is Church and State Oppose God's People. All who will not bow to the decree of the National Council and obey the national law to exalt the Sabbath institute by the man of sin, and that's the Sunday. They want to institute that as a Sabbath, the first day of the week. And, but we know the seventh day, which is God's instituted Sabbath from the creation, is what we ought to keep. Continue. The national laws to exalt the Sabbath instituted by the man of sin to the disregard of God's holy day will feel not the oppressive power of popery alone, but of the Protestant world. The image of the beast, those religious bodies who refuse to hear God's message of warning will be under strong deception and will unite with the civil power to persecute the saints. They're going to come together with the civil power, the courts, to persecute the saints. The Protestant churches will unite with the papal power in persecuting the commandment-keeping people of God. This lamb-like power unites with the dragon. So United States was a lamb-like. They had the horn of a lamb. Like, you know, it was, lamb is quiet and just innocent, basically, lamb-like. So this lamb-like power unite with the dragon in making wars upon those who keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And that is Revelation 19:10. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, that I have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this is what I'm reading from. It's the whole book, Spirit of Prophecy, and it has other books, in it. Different title, different books. Comply. It's a different books that come together to make up the whole book. Compilation. Sorry. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists and Protestant unite. So I'm going to end it right there. So we see what has been foretold, and it's coming through in these last days, and we are in the fifth generation. We're in the fifth generation, and we see all these things that are happening. The Lord has been merciful unto us, giving us extended time to repent, to forsake our sins, and to learn and to study and to show ourselves approved. So may the Lord help us. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. I will go to the line and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1. Blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. Please press 1 to share your testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, a song of meditation, so that we all can be encouraged and blessed and pray for each other. 518-482, your line is now open.
Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Sister Tansinelli from upstate New York. I am so happy to be here this evening. The Sabbath, another Sabbath, the Lord has spared our lives so we can come together. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to treasure these times together, because the time is soon coming when we would not even be able to meet in this fashion. I was reading just now for my devotion to Sabbath about the children of Israel, how they had failed God, right? They failed to destroy the nations that in the land that God has told them to destroy, where they were going to. He told them to destroy everyone. Don't leave nobody alive. Instead, they were very disobedient, like us today. They mingled with these pagans and adopted the evil customs. They worshipped the idols and led to their downfall. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters, the demons, and they shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and daughters, by sacrificing them to the idols of Canaan, they polluted the land with murder. They defiled themselves by their evil deeds, and their love of idols was adultery in the Lord's sight. That is why the Lord's anger was very much against his people, and they were his people who were to show the way, to be the light to the other nations that they were going among. And he abhorred his own possession. Can you imagine that? He handed them over to pagan nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies crushed them and brought them under this cruel power. Again and again, God delivered them and He brought them from under these cruel nations that rebelled against him. They were finally destroyed by their sin. You know, even then God pitied them. He pitied them, for in their distress, he listened to their cries. He remembered his covenant with them, because God had made a covenant with whom? Abraham. So Israel was God's people, God's chosen people. So he made a covenant with them because of the unfailing love. He relented. He didn't give them up. You know, God always is so loving. He's so kind, and he's so good. Oh, Lord God, save us. Gather us back from among the nations so we can thank you. Thank you and bless your holy name and rejoice and praise you. So although they had to be scattered, God scattered them. They went into all these other nations. God still was merciful to them and brought them out. You know, the children of Israel story today is so beautiful. I love to read about the children of Israel and their journey out of. They were God's chosen people. God delivered them in such a miraculous way. And we too are offsprings of those generation. We are really adopted as God's children too, and we can be part of them if we are willing and if we are obedient. You know, troubles always come to the disobedient. Troublous times are here. You know, God allowed this trouble to come to this nation, the Israelites, but he helped them out of their troubles. And he helped them because, one, they were humble. What was God trying to teach them? I was trying to say, what was God trying to teach them? He wanted to teach them to be humble. And he tried to pull out from the allurements of the world and drive them back to God. Take out the world from among them, because he wanted them to return to him. And he even quickened their prayers and allowed the experience more of God's faithfulness, for them to experience more of God's faithfulness. Make us more dependent upon God. You know, when we have troubles, we tend to depend upon God very much, right? But when we don't have any troubles, we think everything is going smooth and nice. We don't think about God. But my dear brothers and sisters, we should always treasure trouble, because trouble keeps us near to God, keeps us nearer, and it allows us give us an experience that helps to make us faithful to God, help to serve him more faithfully. And we also depend more upon God because of trouble. And it encourages us to submit to God's purposes for our life. And lastly of all, I think it helps to make us more compassionate to others who are in trouble. This evening, I just want to think, if we read about Israel's experience and how God was merciful to them, so we too should learn lessons from them to be merciful to others, to love others, and to make them our business to help them in time of trouble, in time of need. Because God never gave up. He never gave up the children of Israel. He never gave up. Although they went through so much hard times, he was always with them. And no matter what they do, he is going to save them at the end. They are his people. And I would like to sing this song of meditation on what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is to all of us this evening. That he has kept us all through the week, 7 days of the week. And many of us are here because of his goodness and his mercy. So I'm going to sing this song, What a Wonderful Savior It Is.
Savior, is Jesus my Jesus,
Short prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you at this holy, on your holy Sabbath hours to give you praise and thanks and to thank you, dear Father, for keeping us safely through another week. We thank you for this prayer line and for all those who come on it time after time to listen to your word. May their hearts be touched in some way in by me as we share our little experiences and our testimonies. Help, Lord, that someone will get to know you better and to serve you more faithfully. Realize, Lord, the time in which we are living are really troublous times are here. And we may not, some of us may not be able to see it, Lord, but if we read your word and study, we will see that the signs are all telling us that the coming of the Lord is near. So, Father, this evening, we pray that you will help us to recognize the times in which we are living in and to live faithfully and be true to you and your mission, and that we will help to tell someone each day about God's love. Bless us, Lord, and bless all who will come on this line this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for that song and for those words of encouragement and your reading. I'm sorry. Also, what devotion were you reading that from?
This is not a devotion. This is a Bible. It's Psalms 106. Psalms 106, the Student Life Bible was reading from.
Psalms 106, okay. Yes, because, amen. Thank you, because it talks about what was going on now, what they're doing, sacrificing the children, you know, and may the Lord have mercy. May the Lord have mercy. Thank you. Thank you. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Thank you for joining us today. What a blessed Sabbath, as, you know, the time changed. This Sabbath come earlier, about, 6 o'clock, and just like an hour before I get on the prayer line, just to meditate and to get prepared. So let's just thank the Lord for each and every one of you that's joining us. Please press 1 if you have a testimony, scripture reading, words of encouragement, you'd like to sing a song, or prayer request, where this is sharing time, brothers and sisters, and God is worthy to be praised, and we're learning, we're sharing, we're encouraging, and we're being blessed. I'll go and open the line for 985-232. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open. Is it Brendan this year?
Oh, good evening, sisters and brothers. Happy Sabbath. I just want to thank God for a blessed week. And we just want to thank him for watching over us and waking us up. I'd like to read a devotion prayer. Lord, I pray for the children of your church. May you bless each one of them and give them a playful and joyous spirit that is outpouring with love. And may we all show these children great love. Let us learn from these young ones and teach them as well, so that they may grow up to know that you are the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I just would like to ask a prayer for my family, my children, my family members, and all the four corners of the state. Just want to thank God for all those on the prayer line and all. We pray that those just missing come back. And we just want to thank God in it for all his grace and mercy that brought us through. So I'm about to put Brother John on, and everyone have a happy Sabbath and be blessed.
Yes, this is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. I'd like to say happy Sabbath to everyone. And I just want to give some encouragement to everyone. Just say it, stay strong. Stay strong in this world and in God's word. And keep the faith and keep your head up. And just wanted to give advice. And I realize that it takes balance, too, in this world to have balance. I realize that. So I want to share that with everyone. Because life is, if I could put it like this, life is like riding a bicycle. So you have to keep your balance. You have to keep on moving. So just keep on moving. And hang in there. Keep the faith. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda, and thank you, Brother John, for coming on and sharing. The Lord is good. He's truly worthy to be praised. And yes, we have to keep moving. We have to grow. We have to, you know, be strengthened. Sometimes we get weak. We fall off. We get discouraged. But we have to look unto our Savior, look unto our Lord. The peace that he promised us is an everlasting peace, the peace that this world promising us. They can't even promise it to us because they can't give peace. We only get true peace and joy from the Lord. Amen. Thank you again for sharing. I'll go to the next caller again. Please press 1. If you would like to share, happy Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, truly a blessing to be in the land of the living and to do what God has called us to do, or at least try and ask God to give us the strength, give us the endurance and the power to do his will so that we can glorify him with our body, our souls, our mind, because we belong to him, brothers and sisters. We have to remember that he made us. We are not our own. We belong to someone. So when we don't claim our Heavenly Father inadvertently, we're claiming the enemy, because you have to claim someone. We just didn't pop up on this earth. He created us and made us for a special purpose so we can live with him and reign with him. We are kings and priests. We're a peculiar people. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for the next caller. Happy Sabbath. I'll open the line. 518-744. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Hand, New York, and it's good to hear all my brothers and sisters' voices. That song that Sister Fontanelli sang, that was beautiful, and it's good to hear Brother John, Sister Brenda telling everybody happy Sabbath. So I want to say happy Sabbath to all my brothers and sisters, and I was excited for the Sabbath to come. I always enjoy it, but this week has been a long week. We've been working outside, and, you know, for many, many years I worked outside every day, rain, cold, snow, shined, hot. It didn't matter what it was, and I always said if I got the chance to work inside all the time, I would, and for a number of years we have been working inside. very little outside work. And, you know, the last 2 years we've been doing a lot of outside things. And, you know, as I was thinking about it, I think the Lord orchestrated it that way, because all these sicknesses, you know, COVID and so many other things going around, when I'm outside, we're in the fresh air, you get invigorated, even though in the mornings, I mean, we go to the work in the morning, it might be 25 degrees and there was snow on the ground this morning when we got there, and I was not extremely pleased about it. But as the day wore on, I'm thinking to myself, wow, God has blessed me with fresh air, with clean air. We don't have to be breathing the same stale air that everyone else is breathing. And so tonight I'm praising him for that, even though it is a little cold and uncomfortable at times. He's preparing me and each one of us for a greater work, as Sister Carla was mentioning. We need to be thanking him for what he has given us, and then we can go out and witness to others. And tonight my wife and I are reading in the Psalms a little bit, and I just wanted to share a couple of verses that we were reading that really spoke to me. Psalm number 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. So I just love those verses. You know, there it is. You know, I have not hid God's righteousness in my heart. I have declared his faithfulness and his salvation. So let us not conceal that in our hearts, brothers and sisters. We need to be declaring that to others. As I hear that on the line every time I'm on, people are just praising the Lord, and it's so good to be with brothers and sisters that are excited about praising God. And I'm just blessed to be here today because of God, but I'm blessed also because of my brothers and sisters on the line. So thank you very much, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I just thank the good Lord for Sister Carla and all the other hosts that come on each week faithfully and open the lines and give us a chance to share. So just praise him for you, sister, and all my brothers and sisters that are on the prayer line tonight. And just prayers for my family and myself. And our church is full of COVID right now. We have not had anybody in our church that had COVID up until just about a month ago, and all of a sudden there's a great outbreak of it in our church. Everyone is doing actually quite well. A lot of people treating the COVID virus with natural remedies, and they're doing well, but we probably only have maybe a third of our members going to be there this week because other ones are sick. So just pray for my brothers and sisters in the Kingsbury Church, and pray that God will heal them and bring them back so that we can all worship together again. Thank you, sister, for opening the line.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Good to hear your voice and good to hear your testimony. And Brother Rick, I thank the Lord for you and what he's doing in you and through you and in your family. So thank you again for sharing and coming on. Praise the Lord indeed. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. And we're going to keep you and your family in prayer, and those that are in the church also in prayer. It's better to, you know, it's good to build up our immune system, because we're in the winter month. And we know, I was listening to Brother Jerry. He was talking about the COVID. It's a flu, natural flu, but sometimes they add, you know, strain to it, and they manipulate the stuff, and it gets worse. So we have to call upon the Lord to protect us. And sometimes, well, we know with the vaccine what's going on. So may the Lord have mercy, and may the Lord touch the heart of his people. Amen. I will go to the next caller. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to be able to be here with you and this Sabbath, and to praise the Lord and to thank him, talk of his goodness, his wonderful work amongst the children of men, and how he has brought us from such a long way, and what he's doing within our life, in our community, and in our churches. 225-337, your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. My name is Sister Leola, and happy Sabbath to you, Sister Carla, and brothers and sisters. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 3 and starting at verse 12. And I just want to thank the Lord for what I heard from Sister Constanelli, that God will not turn his back on his people. So I would like to read starting at 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, said the Lord, and I will cause my anger to fall upon you. I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, said the Lord. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and thou hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, said the Lord. Turn, O backsliders, children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increase in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Surely a wife treacherous departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Reading this, I want to be able to share a song. I will follow thee, and I pray that the Lord be with me in this song. And I just want to give thanks to the Lord Almighty and the prayer line. I pray that we all would not listen to the voice, but the words. I'm going to try to do it clear as possible. So let us sing. Okay. And so I will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever my life may be. Where thy goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men shall forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Though the road be rough and thorny, tackless as the forming sea, thou hast tried this way before me, and I'm gladly follow thee. Though I met with tribulation, sorely tempted though I be, I remember that was tempted and rejoice to follow thee. Though thou leadest me through affliction, poor forsaken though I be, thou wast distressed to the afflicted, and I only follow thee. Though to Jordan roll a billows, cold and deep thou leadest me, thou hast crossed the way before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all men forsake thee, by thy grace I will follow thee. I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I just want to offer a short prayer. Our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, as the song says, I will follow thee, my Savior. And Father, we just here tonight to follow thee in words and heart and our soul and mind. Oh Father, we asking you to forgive us for our sins. And we come tonight on your Sabbath evening, Father, to thank you for this great day that we have rest and that everybody is resting from their labor. And Heavenly Father, I remember, oh, week after week, day after day, they work, work, work. That's all I did. But now, Father, you have brought me into the knowledge to follow thee. So, Father, now, Lord, I look up. And I follow thee all the way, my Savior, I follow thee. And I want to thank you and glorify thine holy name. So thank you, Father. Bless this prayer line, my sisters and brothers. And, Father, we just thank you and praise your holy name once again. In the name of our Savior, Yeshua, I do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. And may God bless everyone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Lee Ola, for coming on and sharing and for singing that song. God is truly good, and he is worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. As the scripture says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And as you were singing that, Sister Lee Ola, my mind went on this song, Sweet Holy Spirit. And I will attempt to sing that.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it is the spirit of the Lord. Sweet, holy spirit, sweet, heavenly. Stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we'll lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Dear our sweet expression on each face, and I know that,
I'm sorry.
And I know they feel the presence of the Lord.
May we continue to feel the presence of the Lord and be in his presence, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is so refreshing. It's so sweet to, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we should pray earnestly for a blessing each day for the Holy Spirit to come abide with us and fill us with his love. We know that's the love of Jesus. Amen. So I will go to the next caller. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Such a blessing to be here with each and every one of you. Most of you I have met, and some I have not met, but I thank the Lord just hearing you. It's like meeting you, and in heaven we'll meet, if not on this earth, face to face, and we will behold our Savior. What a wonderful time that will be. I will open the line for 518-951. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on Advent Life. Blessings, Sister Carlo. Thank you for opening my line. I'm Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. It's a pleasure for me to be on the line to listen to my dear beloved brothers and sisters' testimony in songs and also testimony for the things that God have been doing to them. And that, you know what, all of us want to be obedient, that we can follow the Lord wherever he wants us to be. I am so grateful that that is our desire, that we will follow him. This evening, my dear brothers and sisters, there are some promises for us who are being obedient. And these promises, as we heard this song, you know, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And when we feel that spirit within us, brothers and sisters, we cannot be silent, right? We have to be obedient to follow God and also obedient to share his love out there to others. We can give him all the praise that due to him. And this praise is for us to praise him each day. You know, we are on the street in our busy schedule, and he had protected us on the busy highway. He had gave us food, shelter, clothing. So these are some of the promises that he has given us, and we have to be grateful. But there's a promise for us to be obedient to the blessed Lord that he has given unto us. And in Psalms 119 to 165, he says, great peace have thou which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if we love the Lord and love his law, he said, nothing shall offend his people. And also, Isaiah 48:18 said, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandment, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness are the waves of the sea. Our dear Heavenly Father wants to fill us with his righteousness, he said, and his righteousness are as the waves of the sea. Brothers and sisters, we cannot count the waves in that sea when we would go. And we look and we saw so many thousands of waves all around. We cannot count it. And the Lord promised us that if we be obedient to him, his commandments, he will cover us with his robe of righteousness in Christ by faith, right? Christ by faith, he will cover us, and that is what he wants to give us. It's also said, you know, we all know that God has given us the law when he came, and he wants us to be obedient. This is Sabbath day, it's one of the laws. He wants us to be obedient to him, and also we do know that that will law here is going to be a test, and we saw everything that is happening, and it is pointing us that, you know, man wants to change God's law. It also said here the sacrificial law were abolished at the cross, and we find that Hebrews 10:1-16, we can go and read it in our spare time, that there were the sacrificial laws, and we thank God that all those laws are abolished at the cross. Jesus had paid it all for us, that we don't have to go with a sheep, right, cut a oxen, a dove, or all these things. Those sacrificial law was done. Jesus had paid it all. And you know that is not for us to think about again, because God have done that work already for us. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Took it out of the way, seeking it to the cross, nailing it to the cross. So we know that we saw that our Father have done that already. And also Colossians 2:17 says, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. We want to thank God that what he has done for us, that he has done great things for us. And if we be obedient, brothers and sisters, we know that he had promised us that he have gone to prepare a place for us, and that he will come again to receive us, that where we are, where he is, his children, all of us on this line, if we be obedient and be faithful to him, following his will, he will come to receive us. What a wonderful promises that the Lord had promised God's remnant people. And brother and sister, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful to him that I have a heavenly Father who have promised all these wonderful gifts to his children. And I am one of them, and I am willing and ready to receive them, especially this blessed Sabbath day that he have given unto us, that we all get ourselves ready and prepare, you know, for this Sabbath, so that we can come and fellowship with one another, listen to these songs, listen to the testimony, Sister Leola's song, and also Sister Carla's song. Sister Consinelli, I came on a little late, but I know our loving sisters, them are just singing away the wonderful testimony from our dear beloved brother, Elder Rick, and Lord, the caring that Elder Rick has, you know, especially for brothers and sisters and for this line. We are so grateful to have these wonderful brothers and sisters who stick together in this crisis that we are in. And the Lord said, the more we stick together, the more we will be able to get rid of these things that is around us to weary ourselves down. So I'm so grateful for my dear beloved brothers and sisters in Advent Life. So I am going to offer a word of prayer this evening, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are your children, sons and daughter on this line. First, Lord, we want to thank you. We appreciate everything that you have done from each of us, Lord. There are names we can present it to you tonight. We present our dear Elder Rick, Lord, at Queensbury, who is asking for prayer, Lord, for his himself, his family, Ashley, his daughter, beloved daughter, his daughter who got married, and also his son-in-law, his grandchildren, his wife. Lord, he's also praying for his church, Lord, family, those who came down with the COVID. Dear, you are the great physician. We ask you, Lord, to touch their body. Allow them, dear Father, to remember the natural remedy that you have given unto us in Genesis 1:29, the herbs and the fruits and the leaves for the nation. And also, dear Father, allow them to also remember that you said you wish above all things that your children will settle in the truth and that they will do what is right as we have studied your commandment. So, Father, continue to bless the church family and help their family too, Lord, that they will, you know, all be well and able, Lord, to do what you want them to do, especially in their community, by sharing your words to others out there. And we ask you to bless this church school and those students and also the teachers, Lord. We listen, Lord, to our dear beloved brother John and Sister Brenda. Lord, the growth, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, what you have been doing in the life of Sister Brenda and Brother John, and even the little grandchildren there, Lord. We just ask you, Father, for your extended love towards them, and as they go out, Lord, we ask you for your protection for them, because we know that Brother John and Sister Brenda is presenting the gospel message out there. So we ask you to keep them. Lord, we lift up our dear beloved Sister Cancinelli. Continue to bless, continue to keep the resources that she has brought on this line, dear Father, in her song, in her reading, in her tip, Lord, to us, Lord, always encouraging us, Lord. So we ask you, Father, and if I can say tonight, dear Lord, she is more than a sister to me. She is one of God's servants, dear Lord, and I am so grateful, Lord, for what she have been doing on this line and to others who she come contact with. Bless her family and also her grandchildren. Lord, I lift up my daughter, Sister Carla. Continue to bless her, dear Lord, as a young woman. Lord, a single woman too, Lord, strong woman, Lord, who you have kept, Father God, and carrying her, leading her, dear Lord, helping, showing love, kindness, Lord, to all who she come contact with. Even our clientele, Lord Jesus, she go extra mile, dear Father. Lord, do not know what you have been doing too, Sister Carla, but dear Lord, sometimes it's good for us to give our flowers while our brothers and sisters are alive. So Lord, tonight I lift up all those flowers to you, dear Father, for your dear daughter who you have been using in the medical field, in the other fields, Lord Jesus, in everything that you do. Father, you are dear by her side. Bless her dear two beloved children, Nicholas, the Lord Jesus, and Amanda. Keep them and guide them, and also her family members, them, dear Lord. Be our property. We ask you, Father, to surround it with your sweet holy angel, that it keep protection towards her going out and coming in. We also lift up to you tonight, Sister Leola. Continue to help her that she will follow you. Continue to allow her to be obedient to your will in everything she do, dear Lord, her ministry, carrying out the gospel message out there to the street, Lord, on that street ministry, Lord, to our brothers and our sister, Lord. Also, we lift her up, Lord, with her son, Jarvis. Continue to pour your blessings upon him out there and your protection. Brother Ray at his job, Lord, lifting you up to his co-worker, dear Lord. So we are so grateful that we have all these wonderful resources. We also lift up Sister Stephanie, dear Lord, with what you have been doing to her, dear Father, and also the resource that she has presented on this line. and Father Chet and Chu, Father, with those wonderful study, with Brother Elroy and herself and all the others who joined. Dear Father, you are so great. You are so good. So we just been grateful, Lord, and for her daughter, Karja and KJ, and also the other students, them, dear Lord, in the colleges and all over. Dear Father, we present them to you. Each one of us have students, Lord, and nieces and grandchildren, dear Lord, so we present them. We present our dear beloved sister Tamiko, Father, with the resource she had brought, Lord, your faithfulness, ready to study your words and also share. And as she lift up dear family member, Lord, to you, Taiwan, Tony, Rochelle, Elizabeth, and Marshall, and Doobie, and all her grandchildren, dear Father, and also her mother and her sibling. We also lift up Sister Payne and Sister Lynn, Father, to you. We lift up this evening, Lord, the Richardson, Elder Richardson, Sister Richardson, all those who in Tennessee doing your will this morning, tonight, Lord. Lift them up, Lord. Where Elder Wilson, dear Father, we lift up, Lord. Oh, Sister Boyd and the others, dear Father. We also lift up the Rhode Island crew. Dear Father, Brother Cruz and his team there, his home church, we lift up to you, Lord. We lift up our dear brother Udi and his family, his team in Arkansas, the children, the babies, Lord. We lift them up, Sister Melissa, the work, the health store, and our brother Mazark and brother. You, we know the others, Lord, who is there. The name is worrying me. We know the, our other brothers with Brother Yuli. We lift up. We lift up our dear beloved Brother O'Neill on the battlefield in New York City, doing the work, dear Father, sharing books, going out, Lord, appointment, Lord, his work that he's doing. We ask you for your protection and your guard him, Lord, that he will be well protected and provide for him. Many means, Lord, he lift up his daughter and also his siblings and sisters and brothers. Keep and guide him, dear Lord. We lift up our dear beloved brother Eli as he pray for Jamel, Javari, Hishma, Shishamiko, Lord, and Ever Isma, Pasiana, his mother and himself. And we lift up Shamiko. We lift them up to you, and you know all their needs. And, dear Lord, we know, Lord, Sister Katie. We lift up Sister Katie, the children, Dominique, and all the others, them on this line, Father. Father, we are praying for those who used to be on this line. Allow them, dear Lord, that they will come back to join and have this sweet fellowship with each one of us. So tonight we are grateful, Lord, to have this big team with us, this big family, and help us, Lord, that we stick together, study your words together. We will stand for you as your representative, as your ambassador to carry out your gospel. Bless the speaker tonight, dear Lord, and also the presentation, Father, for the message for this time that we need, Lord. We need a message to stir our hearts. We need the message, dear Father, so that we can run to and fro to share it with others. Bless and keep, guide and protect us, we pray. In Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on, for sharing, and for that wonderful prayer. We all need prayer. We all need to be lifted up to God and, you know, present our petition, present the name to the Father. He knows what we're in need of, but he just wants to hear us. He wants for us to intercede on the behalf of others, just like Sister Powell did. And we'll keep Sister Susan in prayer. You guys, most of you guys remember Sister Susan. I, you know, stay in contact with her through Messenger, and she was, you know, we was just talking, texting, talking about different stuff. And, you know, she told me, we all know Orion is autistic and everything. And you know, because of the baby shots that he received. And she told her son, Eric, he got married to have a little girl, and she told him not to have the, you know, not to get the child shots. And Eric and the mother, his wife, went ahead and got the baby shots, and now she said the little girl is autistic. So may the Lord have mercy. I told her there's remedy to reverse it quickly since she's still young, but, you know, disobedience will bring heartaches and pain. And may we have mercy. May we be Berean. May we test stuff, study, read for ourselves, and take heed to the warning that been given to us at time. Amen. I'll go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Truly a blessing to see all the numbers and to hear the testimonies, the sharing, the prayer, the songs, and just to be a big family. As we know, we grow, some family move on, and some new family comes, and, you know, family goes and come, but we're still family, and we're still children of the Most High. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for 272-770. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. God Happy bless you. Sabbath. I have Elizabeth on the line mm-hmm. with me.
Hello, Amen. My brothers and sisters, beloved. I love you all, and I couldn't wait to get connected because I get recharged.
Amen.
Thank you so much for this ministry, mm-hmm. Sister. Sister Carla,
praise
thank you
Lord.
So much for this. This is a wonderful ministry.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. I would like to sing a song, if I may. This is Tamiko from Pennsylvania, and Elizabeth is also in Pennsylvania. She's in a nursing home. So I ask
her. Yes, yes, in Bangor.
Yes, she's in Bangor, PA. So I would like to ask for a healing prayer for Elizabeth. And I'd like to sing "To God Be the Glory."
Amen.
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 To God be the glory, great things he has done. From love to the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Happy earth, hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory that he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, a purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God, the veil is offended who truly believes. At moment from Jesus, the pardon we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Great things he has taught us. Great things he has done. And greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be a wonder I'll transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line. God
God bless you. Please also keep myself, my family in prayer. I greatly appreciate it. And
amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you, my little sister.
Thank you. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Elizabeth and Sister Timeka. What a blessed, beautiful song. And glad to hear both of you on the line. I was on, was it yesterday, and I heard Sister Elizabeth sharing. I think it was a Sunday because I was driving, I believe. But praise the Lord, my sisters. Thank you for coming on and sharing. Amen. So I'll go to, I believe this is Brother Eli. Can you be brief? I'm sorry. We trying to give the speaker enough time, and I will open the next line. Happy Sabbath, 857-505. Your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, beloved brothers and sisters. How are you today? My name is Brother Eli. God is good, brothers and sisters. He's awesome. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised, beloved. God is good, beloved. God is awesome. He's worthy to be praised. Beloved, I have a prayer request, Sister Carla, Sister Tamiko. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Let's put my mother in prayer because my mother needs a lot of prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, let's put my mom in prayer. Don't forget to pray for our dear brother, Brother Jihari. Let's put Brother Jihari in prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for Sister Shamika. Shamika starting in S-H-E-M-I-C-A. Let's pray for Sister Shamika. Pray for Brother Javel. Pray for, don't forget to pray for Perlix. Because you know why, Sister Carla, I told you to pray for Sister Perlix. When I tell Sister Shamika, I say, Sister Shamika, what is going on? And she talked to me earlier and say, Perlix doesn't go to church. And Shamika told me that Felix, she hate God. I say Shamika, listen to me. You have to tell that girl, Felix. She has to love the Lord. She has to love God because God say in His word. God say in His word. You have to love God. You have to love Jesus because God is able. God is a mighty God. God is the King of Kings. Please, Sister Carla, lift up Sister Felix in prayer because the enemy is trying to use her at the moment. So please lift her up in prayer, Sister Carla. And Sister Carla, I want to sing a song for Brother Yudi. Brother Yudi Kavea, may God continue to bless you, my dear brother. May God continue to guide you, my brother Yudi. Brother Yudi, what matter what you're going through, may God bless you with your ministry. May God continue to touch you, Brother Yudi, because Brother Yudi, you will be blessed with that song. When I sing a song, Brother Yudi, you will feel blessed, Brother Yudi. You will shout hallelujah, Brother Yudi. You will shout hallelujah, Brother Yudi. You will shout hallelujah when I sing a song, Brother Yudi, because today is the Sabbath, Brother Yudi. Today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad that today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in that. Sister Carla and Brother Yudi, shout hallelujah at this moment. Shout hallelujah, Brother Yudi, because I'm going to sing a special song right now. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Bless is His holy name. Oh, my soul. Oh, my God, bless is His holy name. Let's sing, Sister Carla. Let's sing, Sister Elizabeth. Let's sing, Sister Tamiko. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. my soul, bless is His holy name. Oh my God, bless is His holy name. Let's sing what a unity. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, let's sing Sister Kala. Bless is His holy name. Sister Kala, what a unity. Know that song, what a unity. I have to lift up His hand, what a unity. I have to shout that song at this moment. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my God, bless is His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, Sister Carla, oh my God, bless is His holy name. Brother Yudi, may God bless you with your ministry, Brother Yudi. May God continue to bless you, Brother Yudi. God will give you deliverance. Brother Yudi, God will deliver you from darkness at the moment. God will deliver you, Brother Yudi, whatever what you're going through. God is good, Brother Yudi. Trust in the Lord, Brother Yudi. Have faith in God because He is good. He's worthy to be praised. He's awesome, Brother Yudi. I want to say hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I want to say hallelujah, Brother Yudi. Hallelujah, Sister Paula. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Eli.
Amen. Thank you
very much.
Amen. Amen. May the Lord help us. May the Lord have mercy upon us. Amen. Okay. Brother Yudi, could you please press 1? If you are ready, I will do a short prayer. Not sure if you're in the field or if you're having your personal family devotion, but if you can press 1, if you can hear me, I try to contact you. I see that you're on, but I'm not sure if you're near the phone. So please press 1 so that I can know. Amen. So as we're waiting for Brother Yudi to press 1, I have one more thing to read, and then I'll do a prayer for Brother Eli. Prayer request just now that he just asked for. Amen. Okay. So it's the Last Day Event, Chapter 10, and I was reading that earlier. And I am reading 146.1. It says, Adventists will be treated with contempt. The same masterful mind that plotted against the faithful in ages past is still seeking to rid the earth of those who fear God and obey His law. Well, genius education will combine to cover them with contempt. Persecuting rulers, ministers, and church members will conspire against them. Again, there's going to be persecution coming through the rulers, the ministers, the church members will conspire against them with voice and pen by both threat and ridicule. They will seek to overthrow their faith. So we have to be strong, brothers and sisters. We have to be, grounded on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. There will come a time when, because of our adversary of Bible truth, we shall be treated as traitor. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgment of God upon the earth. Their conscious scruple will be pronounced. Stubbornness and contempt of authority, they will be accused of disaffection towards the government. So we will be accused of all of these. We don't have no affection or loyalty towards the government and towards the evil of this world, we will be brought in court and tried, and they will want to kill us. But we know we have we serve a mighty God. We know we serve the King, the Creator of heaven and earth. And we know when we are weak, His strength becomes strong in us, and we can count on the Lord to work for us on the behalf of each and every one of us. Okay, that was, I believe, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in our weakness, Christ's strength will be made perfect, brothers and sisters. So be encouraged. Amen. So I'll say, okay, I have a caller that has pressed 1. So I'll go ahead and open that line. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Please be brief. I'm not sure if this is Brother Bernard. But again, Brother Udi, if you can press 1, if you can hear me. I don't know if your phone is on mute. Please press 1. Amen. So 931. Oh, I believe this is Elder Richardson. 931-724. Happy Sabbath. Just a moment. Your line is now open. Just a moment. I'm attempting to open your line. Having a little difficulty here. Here we go.
All right. I got it now. Unmuted.
Amen.
Happy Sabbath to all. Are we still on for testimonies and all these different things? I don't know if you was winding down or you wound down.
Go ahead. Still sharing time until the speaker. This will be our, our service. Hey.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath to all. Hope all is doing well. It's really cold now. Seems to be cold everywhere. Even south down here is cold. So we know that the only safe haven, the only safe place where we have real peace and tranquility is where? Heaven. And to know that very soon we'll be going to that city, to that holy city, when we are taken up by the grace of God. And I want to be in one of those gates. And I'm praying that in one of those tribes, that I will be falling through one of those gates and walking on the streets of gold, and those 12 gates with hinges of all kinds of, you name it. Oh, Lord, what a day, brethren and sisters, and there'll be no night there. Praise the Lord. I just want to sing this psalm. No more night, then I know God is going to bless us by the grace of God. No more night. The timeless team, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream, God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumble and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, there'll be no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live light of the risen land. See all around now the nation bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ, our King. Slowly the names from the book I read. I know the King. Praise the Lord. There is no need to dread. No more night. There'll be no more pain. No more tears. Never crying again. Oh, praise it. The great I am, we will live in the light of a risen land. See over there, it's a mansion prepared just for me, where I can live with my Savior eternally. No more night, there'll be no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of a risen Lamb. We will live in the light of a faithful, brethren and sisters. Very soon we'll be there when Jesus comes. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath, Elder Richardson. Sister Powell prayed for you and your family. And thank you for the song. Just want to thank you for your presence here on the line. And may the Lord continue to bless you and to keep you and to present you and each and every one of us faultless. And may the Lord bless your dear wife. Okay, I will go ahead, as we know the time is going. I will go ahead, just found it, Help from Above. I will go ahead and play this short clip. Well, it's not short, but it's going to play it for a few minutes so we can hear. And this is Randy Skeet, evangelist Randy Skeet. Okay, so Help from Above, amen. So I will have to cut it short of 15 after or so, but it's a little long, but I think it will be a blessing. So happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Please enjoy.
Lord, how are the increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10 thousands of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 3. God is good, and all the time. Say it again. God is good, and all the time. Ladies, God is good, and all the time. Gentlemen, God is good, and all the time. Everybody, God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Which means, if truth will endure to all generations, one day error will come to an end. Along with those who persist in living their lives by error. Let me say that again. Truth will endure to all generations. Error will one day come to an end, along with those who persist in living their lives based on error. Good evening, everyone. How do you do? You look well. I missed you today. Why are you laughing? I just spoke the truth. Did you miss me a little bit? Just a little bit. Nothing more than that. All right. Well, let me stop begging and fishing. It's nice to see you. Who's with us for the very first time? Raise your hand. First time since we began November 24. God bless you. God bless you. May the blessing of God sweep all over to enfold all those who raise your hands. You're with us for the first time. Who is with us tonight? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. May I see your hand? You're not an Adventist. Would you stand? Let's look you over. Please stand. You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. This is very impressive. If I had a microphone and I had the time, I would get everybody's name, but we don't have the time. God bless you. God bless you. All our guests on this side, God bless you and your families. God bless you on the main level. God bless you. God bless you. And all over here, God bless you, our non-Seventh-day Adventist friends. Thank you for coming. Let the church say, that's weak. Say it again. One more time. God is good. And all the time. Yes, my friends, please be seated, and we hope you'll make plans to come to see us again tomorrow. We are not tired of seeing you. I want to answer a question tonight. I was not moved to answer any questions last night, for very obvious reasons, but I want to answer one tonight, very serious, particularly since I heard a comment from our speaker this morning, which was so appropriate. And before I answer the question, let's pray and ask God for wisdom. Loving Father in heaven, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Father in heaven, as I answer a simple question, but a very important question, give me the words to speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm summarizing the question. It is essentially this. Is it all right to be romantically involved with a member, someone not of the church, if there's some possibility for soul winning in that effort? Let me say that again. The question is it all right to be involved with someone not of the church, if the possibility exists of winning the person to Christ? Now, the way the question was put is very clever, because it includes evangelism, which is why we exist. When God tells us to do something or not do it, we must obey God without one iota of negotiation. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. You may go there quickly. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It is a passage with which you are familiar. Here's what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now we can stop right there. Of course, the answer is none, none. And there are five such questions. Each question must be answered none. Now let's listen to it. Let's repeat one of the statements. What communion hath light with darkness? Now, let's go to Genesis 1. Quickly. Well, I won't wait. I'll just go right ahead. We read from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Listen to verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Listen carefully. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the creation, God built a spiritual lesson. He does not want light and darkness coexisting. It is from this that Paul asks the question, what communion have light with darkness? He is drawing from Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the creation, I say, God is teaching us. He wants light and darkness kept separate. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, when the Israelites were on the banks, they could see the promised land. Moses repeats. He goes over all the instruction God had given them over 40 years of wandering. And he tells them in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 7 regarding the nations they would encounter in Canaan, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Not because God didn't love them. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when it comes to spiritual training and beliefs, distinctions must be made. According to the Bible, a believer must not marry an unbeliever. Somebody who is not afraid of the truth, say amen. And you say to me, well, what is a believer? Let me give you some insight from the pen of inspiration. Letters to Young Lovers, page 87, paragraph 3. Though the companion of your choice was in all other respects worthy, which he is not, yet he has not accepted the truth for his time. He is an unbeliever. Then in a Seventh-day Adventist context, what is an unbeliever? Someone who does not follow present truth. Now, let me repeat quickly. God loves how many people? Everybody. But he told the Israelites, do not marry non-Israelites. Now, if they become Israelites, yes. As a Seventh-day Adventist, you are forbidden by the Bible. You are forbidden by the church. You are forbidden by the spirit of prophecy to marry outside of the church. You are absolutely forbidden. If you are presently involved in such a relationship, in the strength of God, break it off tonight. Don't wait. Tonight, as soon as you leave, send a text and say, I was reminded of something I really knew deep in my heart. I have been misleading you. I have been giving you the impression that my church tolerates that kind of behavior. I apologize and I hereby discontinue this relationship. This is not a discussion. This is an announcement. If you are afraid, invite the young man to this meeting. I will tell him myself. In your presence. Here's what I'll tell him. I'll tell him you're wrong. I'll tell him he has good taste. Are you with me? But I'll tell him you're wrong. But this can't continue. I was in a certain country on the face of the earth. I was preaching and counseling. This young lady came to me. She was involved outside of the church. I told her bluntly, it has to stop. It is offensive to God. She said, but we've been going 2 years. I said, I couldn't care less. It's wrong. I said, call him. She called him. He came. And I told him in front of her, she's wrong. God bless you for thinking high and having good taste. She is wrong. And this cannot continue. And he understood. He shook my hand. And I heard from her 3 months ago. She never went back to him. It is, listen to this frightening statement. Adventist Home, page 67, paragraph 1. What did I say? To connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. Do you know what forfeit means? You give it up. Can you afford to have such terrible odds against you in fighting the battle for everlasting life? But some of us are so stubborn. Here's what we say to God. I don't care what you say. I want a man. The daughters of Lot, they essentially said to God, we don't care about thou shalt not commit adultery. We want children and we will sleep with our father to get them. That's how many of us function. I don't care what you say, God. I want a man. I don't care what you say. I want a woman. I don't care what you say. I want a child, whether I have a husband or not. Then we suffer and we blame God. One more quotation and I get off this uncomfortable subject. Letters to Young Lovers, page 83, paragraph 1. I have heard that you are intending to marry a man who is not a believer. I am unable to write you a long letter, but I will say, if you take this step, you depart from the plainest injunction or commandment of Scripture and cannot expect or claim God's blessing on such a union. Let me say it one more time that it may be recorded in heaven. If you are in a mixed relationship, break it off as soon as this service ends. Let me go a little further. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. You read verse 1. I don't want this to turn out to be my sermon, but it's already, what time is it, doctor? 7:20. Genesis 6, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Stop. Genesis 6 introduces the flood. And the reason for the flood, the wickedness of the antediluvian world. But you will observe the only clearly identified sin is mixed marriages. The only clearly identified, I said, not the only, the only clearly identified, the sons of God, descendants of Seth, the holy line, saw the daughters of men, descendants of Cain, that they were fair, attractive, beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Listen to verse 4 and see what that kind of thing leads to. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and there bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Now keep this in mind, which were of old men of renown. They became mighty men. Let's look at one example of a mighty man emerging from these mixed marriages. Go to Genesis 10. We read from verse 8. I didn't intend to take this long, but this is a matter of great seriousness. Genesis 10, reading from verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. Read the next few words for me. Nice and loud, my King James family. Come on. He began to be a what? A mighty one in the earth. Now listen to Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and there bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Not mighty for righteous reasons, mighty for sinful reasons. And the mightiest of the mighty that emerged from mixed marriages was Nimrod, the founder of the first kingdom on earth, and the one who founded what we call Babylon. He was the mighty one, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Nimrod, the result of a mixed marriage, laid the foundation for Babylon. And as an Adventist, you know about Babylon in the book of Revelation. As much as this may irritate you, if you are in a mixed relationship, now if you're married, you can't leave. Are you with me? You can't leave. If you are scheduled to be married tomorrow, break it off tonight. No, I'm not joking. If you're scheduled to marry that person right after the service tonight at 8:30, what am I about to say? Break it off. Listen to me. There is no safer life to live than a life of unquestioning obedience to God. Many of us, we never see the power of God in our lives because we negotiate with God. The Bible says, do not eat the swine. I don't care if science has shown it has more vitamin B than beef. I just don't care. God says, don't eat it. That's how the Christian lives. What did God say? Don't eat it. I don't eat it. God says, avoid alcohol. I avoid alcohol. That's how we're to live, my brothers and my sisters. Under conditions like this, I normally make a call for all those involved in relationships to come and make a commitment to break it off. But I won't do that tonight. No, I do. I do. But you may relax. But I want you to make a commitment tonight. Break it off. As your brother in Christ, I tell you in plain English, you are wrong. It is sin. A Seventh-day Adventist minister is not authorized to marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. Now, he can marry a Baptist and a Catholic. He can marry a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon. He can marry an atheist and a demon. But he can't marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. If he does, he risks having his credentials suspended or revoked permanently. That's how serious the church is. Not because we're better than anyone else. If you're Catholic, marry a Catholic. You're an atheist, marry an atheist. Whatever you are, marry of the same. And if you are Seventh-day Adventist, a member of God's remnant, find a Seventh-day Adventist. And ladies, don't give me this argument, there are no men in the church. And the men outside the church are nicer. No. If you think there are no men in the church, you serve a God who made the first man. Are you with me? You can't find one, he'll make you one. Trust God. Somebody say amen for God. God wants obedience. That's all he wants. Obedience. All right. I am through with that. Do you still love me? Say yes. Okay. All right. I love you too. I want to see you in the kingdom of God. I really do. What time is it, Professor? What? 7 what? 7:30. Give me half an hour. Is that okay? All right. What kind of a man am I? Strange man. Don't say it so loudly. What's this? What am I about to pick up? What do I want you to use? All right. Turn the phone off. Turn the Bible on. Favor number 2, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That's based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. What a tremendous privilege it is to know that God puts his words in your mouth. Are you conducting a Bible study during the week? Ask God, Father, put your words in my mouth. By the way, let me suggest something to you that works for me. Before you answer an email or a WhatsApp text, any form of communication, pray. And say, Lord, give me the right words. I am extremely serious. Before you reply to an email, a text, or whatever, from Viber, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, say, Lord, give me the right words to say. Because sometimes messages go to the wrong people. Am I right? Haven't you ever sent a message and say, oh, that was not intended for him or her? Ask God, give me the right words so that your words always savor of life unto life. Favor number 3, I want you to think as you listen. Think very deeply. Think microscopically. Let the truth be taught to you by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, I have spoken very boldly to your sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. Help them to understand, Father, my first responsibility is to you. I must answer to you, dear God, for what I say. And so I ask you, Father, that you would take what I've said, harsh as it was, and apply to their hearts, dear God, that they may see the saving value in obeying God, doing things your way. Now, as I present this brief message, speak through me very directly, dear God. Where I have offended you, Father, forgive me, Father. Give me hatred for sin, and give me a love for righteousness that is greater than my love for life. I offer this prayer, also asking you to pronounce a special blessing on all our guests. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Genesis chapter 2, reading verse 7, our subject, help from above. What did I say? Help from above. Quickly, Genesis 2 verse 7. You know it without looking. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Let's reread that verse. This time we shall read it closely, microscopically. Then I'll ask you a question or two. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Question for you. How many things did God do in that verse? Quickly, quickly. Listen to the verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. How many things did God do in that verse? 2. What were they? He formed man. Then he breathed into his nostrils. Very good. He formed man from what? The dust of the ground. Where was the dust of the ground? On the earth. Beneath. What was the second act that God carried out? He breathed. Where's the breath from? Where's God from? Above. Here's what I want you to fix in your mind. When God made man, God built into mankind's creation this lesson. The life that God desires of us is a life that is energized from power by power from above. A life lived disconnected from heaven is not life, it's just existence. Let me try to say that more simply. To live the life as God desires life to be lived, there must be cooperation between heaven and earth, or heaven and earth. The dirt from the earth, the breath from above. This is God's ideal, heaven and earth working together, not necessarily for the benefit of heaven, but for the elevation and the blessing of earth. When God made Adam, it did not improve God. You can't improve God. But it did something for Adam. As Adam obeyed, he grew. When he sinned, he declined. Obedience is for our blessing, is for our growth. Cooperation with God is for our advancement. God does not advance. God does not grow. God does not improve. God is God. Let me repeat. The life God desires you and me to live, the ideal life, is a life lived in cooperation with heaven. And so the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the creation of Adam, as I said, is built in the lesson that a meaningful life requires contact with heaven. Another lesson was built into the creation of man. Let me ask you this. When Adam stood up, alive, walked around, what was he made of? Dust. Did God add any more dust to Adam? No. No. He had all the dust he needed. Are you following me? We'll see, yes or no. All right. Did God have to add breath to Adam? Did Adam have to keep breathing? Did he have to keep adding dirt? No. Where did the breath come from? Now, in other words, God is teaching us that which comes from heaven must be resupplied how often? Come on. Don't embarrass me like this. That which comes from heaven must be resupplied how often? Moment by moment. Question for you. If I lose a leg, can I still live life? Yes. If I lose both legs, can I still live? Yes. When I lose a leg, what have I lost? Let's see who's thinking. What have I lost? Dust. That's all I've lost. Dust. Makes it difficult for me to jump and play basketball, but I've just lost dust. If I lost both legs, can I live? Yes. So the essence of life is not the dust. It's the breath. If I lose both legs and both arms, can I live? If I lose both legs, both arms, both ears, can I live? Yes. If I lose the breath, can I live? No. Then what's the lesson God has built into the creation of man? You must depend on me moment. Every breath reminds you of God. This is no joke. God made us in such a way that every breath is designed to remind us of our dependence upon God, of our need for a cooperative relationship with heaven. To remind us that without heaven, we are nothing. With this in mind, as we consider sacrifice and service, you know, Jesus said, without me, ye can do what? Nothing. I want to give you some courage tonight to let you know that when you decide to work for God, you are not alone. God is present in the person of His Spirit and His angels to assist the child of God who desires to do God's work, to serve Him, whether directly or by the jobs you do, by the life you live, by your classroom activities, whatever it is, God is always poised to assist. Because the earth, the effort coming from earth is only meaningful to God if it is mingled with divine power. Let me say that differently. God's desire for us is that human effort be mingled with divine power in everything we do except sin. When it comes to sin, we need no help from God. Let me explain what I mean. That heaven is always ready to assist the earth. Let us go to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel 8, let's go there quickly. Our subject is what? Help from above. Daniel 8, we read from verse 14. By the way, Daniel 8, 14 is identified by the Spirit of Prophecy as the single most important Bible verse in the theology of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Here's what she writes in Great Controversy, page 409, paragraph 1. The scripture which above all other had been both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent movement was the declaration, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That verse, above all others, is the foundation stone of what we know in this church as present truth. And so the verse says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And Daniel heard one saint, according to verse 13, speaking to another saint. And giving this answer in the one sense said, how long shall be division concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Verse 13. And the answer comes 2,300 days. Now, Daniel is seeing this vision. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then before me they stood as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Stop. This, Daniel 8:14, was part of a vision that Daniel did not fully understand. That along with the activities of what the Bible calls the little horn. And I can't get into all of that tonight. Daniel could not understand. But I want you to observe what Daniel did. Let's read verse 15 again carefully as we continue. Help from above. And it came to pass that when I, even I, Daniel. Now, remember what the Bible says about Daniel. As for Daniel, God gave him knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's what the Bible says. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. But despite that, which we read in Daniel 1:17, Daniel was stumped by this part of the vision. And so the verse says, it came to pass that when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision. Now notice the next few words. And sought what? For the meaning. Think of those words. He saw the vision. And he sought for the meaning. What does that mean? Somebody talk to me quickly. He what? All right. Someone said he sought help from God. He sought for the meaning. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, or I won't leave this place tonight. What do you understand by he sought for the meaning? Huh? He tried to what? Understand. It's essential that you understand. Daniel tried to understand first before God did something. Listen to the sequence of events. And it came to pass that when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision. You see the assignment your professor gives you. You see what your mother tells you to do. You see what your boss assigns you to do for the next, I don't know, budgetary period. And sought for the meaning. He tried to understand. He exercised his brain. This man with a special talent for understanding dreams and visions, he tried, the Bible says, he sought for the meaning. When he had exhausted his ability and still could not understand. The verse goes on to say, then they stood before me as the appearance of a man. Verse 16, And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, what? Come on, nice and loud. Let's look at that. A voice cried out and spoke to whom? Gabriel. What did the voice say? Make this man to understand the vision. Why do I feel as though I'm talking to myself tonight? Are you listening to me? Who is Gabriel? The highest angel in heaven. Desire of Ages, page 693, paragraph 3. The mighty angel who stands in God's presence, occupying the position for which Lucifer fell, came to the side of Christ. That was Gabriel. Desire of Ages, page 234, paragraph 2. It was Gabriel, the angel next in rank to Christ, who came with the divine message to Daniel. When Gabriel came to Zacharias, the man who would be the father of John the Baptist, when he told him he'd have a son, Zacharias said in verse 18, whereby shall I know this of Luke 1? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, Luke 1:19, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. What was he saying? I am not a little angel from the lowest level in heaven. Do you know who you're talking to? I am the angel that stands closest to God. This was the man who was told what? Make this man to understand the vision. Question for you. Listen to these words. Make this man to understand the vision. Seven words. Combine those words. What do you have? I'm not coming back to PNG. No, you know I'm coming back as soon as I can. Listen again. Listen to the way I say it. Make this man to understand the vision. Now, those seven words are what? A command. Somebody commanded the highest angel. Let's reason. If Gabriel is the highest angel, who alone can command Gabriel? God. Now, listen to me. Can Gabriel disobey? No. So what did Gabriel have to do? Make Daniel, come on, understand. Or he would have disobeyed the command. I feel so lonely up here tonight. Not even my family is with me tonight. This side. Father, bless your people. Listen to what I just said. If Gabriel had failed to make Daniel understand, he would have disobeyed God. Because God commanded him, make this man to understand. What does this have to do with you? Daniel was a man just like you. He tried. When he exhausted the limits of his ability, God stepped in and gave him help from the highest created being in heaven, Gabriel himself. God is no respecter of persons, as we continue with help from above. When you do your best for God and you reach the outer limits of your ability, God is duty bound to send you help from above. That's not the only time God did that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Our subject, help from above. What time is it? Nice and loud. 10 to 8. Okay. Matthew 4. Are you there? Reading from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, read it with me. What did he say? Come on. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now you'll observe the Bible says, after he had fasted 40 days. By the way, the devil is very strategic. He comes at you at the right time and at the right place. He did not come to Christ on the first day of the fast. Christ would have been too strong. He came 40 days after. Now, he failed temptation one. He tried temptation two. He failed. He tried three. He failed. Let's read verse 11 of Matthew 4. Let me show you how God comes to the aids of human beings. Matthew 4, verse 11. What does the Bible say? Then the devil, what? Leaveth him. Keep reading. And behold, come on, angels what? And ministered unto. Now, why? Where was Jesus? In the wilderness. According to Mark, in Mark 1, verse 13, he was there with the wild beasts. There were no disciples, not his mother. There was no human being to sustain Christ as he collapsed after the third temptation. God will not leave a human being alone. Very often God helps us by sending other human beings. When that option is not available, God will send help from above. If that's clear, say amen. God sent angels not because Jesus was his son, because Jesus was a human being in need of help. And the same Jesus who said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, meaning all of us should live by God's word, God will deal with us as he dealt with Jesus if we depend on God, as Jesus did. And so Jesus received help from above because no human help was possible. Let's look at God doing the same thing again. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, our subject, help from above. I'm saying this so that as you serve God, you need the confidence that you are never alone. If human assistance is not available, God will send help from above, literally. Luke 22, reading from verse 41. This is Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Read verse 43. What does that say? And there appeared what? An angel from where? Yes. Doing what? Strengthening him. Why? Why send an angel? With whom did Jesus enter the garden? 11 disciples. He left 8 at a gate. Took Peter, James, and John further in. Then he left them, and he went off by himself at a short distance. He had at least Peter, James, and John within sight of him. They could see his face. But what were they doing? They were sleeping. How many times did Jesus go to them for help? 3 times. Each time he came, they were snoring. Now, this is Christ suffering not as God. He's suffering as man. No man who is faithful to God will be allowed to suffer alone. What did God do? What did God do? He sent an angel. Not because Jesus was his son, because Jesus was a child of his in need of help, and no human help was available. My brothers and sisters, if God can't find a human being to send to assist you, he will send an angel. Somebody say amen. Because there's always help from where? Above. He never leaves us alone. When you walk the streets as a colporteur, knocking on doors, selling books that can transform lives, you have to understand there's an unseen power walking with you. Assuming your life is right with God. When you're conducting that Bible study and the entire class is against you and you calmly present the scriptures reasonably, there's an unseen power assisting you and giving power to your words. My brothers, my sisters, listen to me carefully. The God you serve never leaves you alone. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what flesh shall do unto me. God is our helper, a very present help in the time of trouble. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In every circumstance, the child of God can expect help from above. Not just in Bible study and selling books as a literary evangelist. In the living of your life. Remember what I said at the beginning of my remarks? God's desire is that your life and mine be lived in cooperation with Him. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Hear God's husbandry. Hear God's building. Let's say that again. Ye are laborers. We are laborers together with God. Let me explain what I mean. Here's a Christian woman. She works with God in raising her children. She works with God in running her home. She works with God if she has a job outside the home. She is a partner with God in everything she does. She's a laborer together with God. Or here's a man, head of the home. He commits his family to God every night and every morning. Why? Because he realizes to lead his family effectively, he must lead under the leadership of God. So he's a laborer together with God in directing his family. He disciplines his children in collaboration with God. He works in collaboration with God. He functions as an elder or a deacon or a treasurer as a laborer with God. There is no aspect of your life or my life that we should live alone. Let me be. Your sex life, if you're married, say amen. It's weak. Say it again. Your very sex life should be in cooperation with God. You just can't abuse your wife every time an animal passion gets up in you. Because she belongs to God first, not you. Somebody say amen. She's God's property first. You can't be an animal sensually. Every aspect of the life must be expressed in collaboration with God. There is no exception. Your recreational life in collaboration with God. My brothers and sisters, when we live like that, we become instruments by which God blesses the world. He blesses us, and through us, He blesses the world. I'll give an example, then I'll let you go. I'm sure it's past 8 o'clock. What time is it? 5 after 8 or 10? 8 after 8. All right. Give me 10 more minutes. Is that okay? Go to Genesis 39 quickly. Genesis 39. I'll try to let you go earlier tomorrow night as my way of confessing my sins for holding you long tonight. Genesis 39. Do you have that? You're so slow. Come on, come on. When I get back home, I'll tell my people that people in PNG are slow to find the books of the Bible. All right, you have Genesis 39. Reading verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now Joseph is a slave. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Stop. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 again. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's cooperation. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And his master, that's the Egyptian, the pagan, the unbeliever, the heathen, he saw. If the unbeliever does not see Christ in you, there's a problem with you. Not the unbeliever. Listen to me carefully. When God dwells in his children, the presence of God must be so powerful, no one can avoid it. God's presence cannot be avoided. If the presence of God is in me and you, it must be sensed at least, even by the unbeliever. And so the Bible says his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Now, that's a laborer together with God. Whatever Joseph did, it is God that made it prosper. Here's what Ellen White writes. Beautiful quotation. Education, page 138, paragraph 2. Thus, our business or calling are a part of God's great plan. And so long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. How many times we conduct seminars and we go to meetings and conferences, waste a lot of time trying to figure out how to be more productive. For the Christian, the key to productivity is to work with God and to follow God's guidelines. Listen again to the words of inspiration. Thus, our business or calling are a part of God's great plan. And so long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. God guarantees success when we work with him, when we are laborers together with God. And so, my brothers and sisters, our subject tonight, help from above in everything you do, whether you're giving a Bible study, you're going from door to door selling books, or you're pursuing some academic degree, or you're working a farm, or you're trying to start a family, do it as a laborer together with God. In other words, God is senior, you are junior. He lays down the principles you follow. As in the life of Joseph, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, and Joseph served him and he found grace in his sight. The master was so pleased with Joseph. All that he had, he put into Joseph's hand. Read verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. When you and I work with God, those in our environment are blessed by our presence. I said it clumsily. Nobody said amen. Let me say it again. Now, in Genesis 39, three times Potiphar is called the Egyptian. Clearly, Moses wants us to understand there's a contrast between Potiphar and Joseph. The Bible says, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house. When you put a child of God in charge of something, you've made the smartest choice or smartest hire you can possibly make. But it has to be a child of God, not just a church member. Those are frequently two different things. Not every church member is a child of God. Because the ones who said, crucify him, were church members. They were not children of God. They were children of devil. Now, Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything, the Bible says, and God blessed everything Potiphar had. Why? Because Potiphar's house was run by a man who worked in collaboration with God. And Joseph got all the help he could from above. We could go on to his experience in the prison where God did the same thing for him, because Joseph never changed his method of operation. In Potiphar's house, he worked with God. In the prison, he worked with God. And God blessed him. God blessed the prison. Eventually, God took him to the leadership of the nation of Egypt. My brothers and sisters, live your life as a co-laborer with God. commit every aspect of your life to God. Here's one area I love to hit because it's so popular among the young people. Commit your romantic life to God. Let God be the chaperone wherever you go. Let him decide where you go. You plan to do an educational course, university to study, something or other. Why? You do that in cooperation with God. Everything. And you will have a steady flow of help from above that will bless your life. But bless your life so torrentially, so powerfully, that everyone in your area will be blessed. Wherever a child of God is found, that should be a blessed spot. I was on a plane several years ago. A funny thing happened. As I talk about wherever a child of God is should be a blessed spot. And I sat down, and I'm sitting there looking quite serious as I can. I always fly in a suit. That's my uniform. So I'm sitting there looking official, or trying to look official. And it's very serious, and sitting there. This lady came and sat next to me, looked at me. She said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. She said, oh, good. I said, why? In case of turbulence. That's what she said. In case the plane starts to do that, I want to be next to a preacher. So what I'm saying to you is, when we're faithful to God, wherever we are, that should be a blessed spot. Can you say amen? Let wherever you are be a blessed spot in PNG. Let the church of God say amen. Never be a curse. Never let your presence be a pitfall, quicksand. Let wherever you are be solid ground, safe ground for those around you. Why? Because you're standing there with your God. And when you stand with your God, you are the recipient of a constant stream of help from where? Above. My brothers and sisters, one more time, commit every aspect of your life to God. Tonight, every aspect. And if there's some area of your life you're running without God, confess, change your attitude, put God in charge. He who knows the end from the beginning will bless your life, will guide and direct you, and will keep you from a thousand dangers. I recommit my life to God now. Everything about me to God, asking him, continue to be the senior partner in my life. You lay down the directions, Father. Give me the strength to follow. Let me work with you, that through my life, glory may come to your name and blessing to your people. My brothers and sisters of any age, if you can understand what I'm saying, how many of you will say, Father, here is my life. Take it. Let's work together, you as the senior partner, I as the junior partner. May I see your right hand? Mm-hmm. Do you mean that, yes or no? Stand up and confirm that you raised your hand by standing. Let's confirm it. Father, here's my life. You be the senior partner, dear God. I'll be the junior partner. I'll be the visible partner, but you're the invisible power behind me. I say it one more time, then I pray. A life led by God is the safest life to live. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do everything God's way. Think of God first. And if you're not sure what God's way is, this is where the details are found to acquaint you with God's way. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. Your love is stubborn. Your love is persistent. Your love is elastic, stretching around the entire universe. But Father, our prayer tonight is not regarding the universe, but regarding us right here. Forgive us, dear God, for thinking that we're qualified to run our own lives because we have advanced degrees, or we have large bank accounts, or we have high contacts in society. Father in heaven, a safe life can only be lived in cooperation with you, Father, because the power trying to destroy us is a power so great, only your power can counteract it. We surrender to you tonight, Father, and we ask you to receive us as partners in the business of life. You take the lead there, God. You tell us what to do. We will do it by the power that you give. Help us day by day to walk with the assurance that as we keep our hands in your hand, we have help from above. Dear God, let our walk with you make us a blessing to others. Now, Father, bless every father. Let him run his home as a partner with you. Bless every mother. Let her be the queen of that home as a partner with you. Bless the children, dear God. They're old enough to realize they must let you direct their lives as well. Bless the single ones, desiring relationships. Let them do it in cooperation with you. Remember those desiring degrees because they think degrees will guarantee a secure life. Okay, Father, let them do it in cooperation with you. Those with big responsibilities in society, in this society, dear God, let them carry out their functions in cooperation with you. Father, whatever the person is, high or low, dear God, any church leader, let that person function in cooperation with you. Dear God, let us leave this place tonight knowing that we are part of a partnership. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God in the business of life. It is only when we labor with you, dear Father, that life goes from this world into the world to come. Take us home safely, loving Father. Thank you for taking an interest in every little aspect of our lives. Bring us back tomorrow to hear your word again. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
Amen, brothers and sisters. Sorry it was a little lengthy. I didn't want to cut it off. It was such a powerful message. I was taking notes and writing down the scriptures. And just remember, we want to be co-laborer with Jesus and let him take control of our life. From this day forward, we have learned how to apply principles and scriptures to our life, and let us no more be in control of our life and think we know what's best for us. Let us let God take control of each and every one of our life. Let us keep each other in prayer, keep our families and friends and the youth in prayer. Jesus loves you, brothers and sisters. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.